Hey everyone, it's Nellie here. How are you doing? I am just dropping in to remind you about our live show coming up in Melbourne for Ida Hobbit Day. Some of you came last year. We had a ball with Reuben Kay live in conversation at Comedy Republic, and this year is going to be just as fun. We're mixing it up and we're going to do story time. We're going to have stories from the LGBTIQA plus community. All of our cast will be over 40, and there will be a focus on love, on lust, on joy, on growth, on triumph, on all the good things. The lineup is amazing. Oh my God, the lineup. I mean, I will be hosting, obviously. We'll have Scott Brennan telling a story. We'll have the wonderful Geraldine Hickey. Dr. Kwa E. Ling is going to come down from Sydney and tell a story. Tina Del Twist will sing for us. And we have a very, very, very special surprise guest whose job, look, their job's so important, I'm actually not allowed to advertise their involvement, but let's just say they've got a long title, like longer than my CV. Watch this space. All the cast are funny. Ida Hobbit is a day to celebrate LGBTIQA plus rights, but I think part of that is celebrating our right to love. So this event is going to be all about joy. Do you need some bloody good news for once? Because I sure as shit know that I do. Everyone's welcome, including allies. So go to DearNellyPodcast.com and you can follow the links to live shows, or obviously there's a link in the show notes every week, or you can go to comedyrepublic.com.au, which is where the event will be held. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Darabin in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri people, and their elders past, present, and emerging. Last but not least, this is a sex, dating, and relationships podcast for adults. If you don't like swearing, I tell you what, it's really going to give you the shit. So off you fuck.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice, dear Nellie. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nellie. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nellie. There's a lot to explore, dear Nellie. When you're 40 or more, dear Nellie. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
All right, welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. And we are joined today by a very special guest who goes by the name of Michelle Shepherd, because indeed that is her name. Hello, Michelle. Can we start? Can you introduce yourself to the Dear Nellie community? Who the heck are you?
Who am I? That's a great question. So my name is Michelle Shepherd. I'm a transgender woman. So my pronouns are she and her. Sometimes when I joke in front of classrooms or in front of when I give a speech and just to warm up a crowd, I go, "She Hulk." Things are just a big woman. Always sets the tone. Look, I'm a trans activist. I'm a parent. I've got an 18-year-old and a 14-year-old. The 14-year-old always reminds me that she's almost 15.
Yeah.
I've been out since, oh God, probably about 11 years now. I'm a radio show host. I do public speaking. I do D&I, jack of all trades, master of none, you know.
We like to say you're a Renaissance woman, Michelle. That's how we frame that positively, right? You can do lots of things, but broadly speaking, you're in the entertainment sphere. And I know you through and speaking and that kind of stuff. I know you through sort of queer circles, but also you are part of the Dinelli community.
I sure am.
Yeah, which is lovely. So can you take me back to Little Michelle? So you go back as
Little
far as you
Michelle.
want.
Sure.
What's your dating and relationships trajectory?
So thinking back as a teen,
Yeah.
back in my 20s and stuff. So to really paint the picture, and this is stuff I don't shy away from, is being assigned male at birth. I had an experience for a number of years. And look, my family growing up in the Midwest, the Bible Belt, cows, corn, Trump, that kind of place. I was raised as a gentleman by my parents and wider family. Like that very, church every Sunday. You were raised as the idea of being a gentleman. Like a true gentleman isn't being callous and cold and mindful of other people's feelings. You never go out of your way to hurt people or anyone else. You show concern for others' needs. If delivery, bad news at work, for example, we think about the chosen words because, we don't want to be insensitive. All that stuff, removing the head of the table, holding the door, et cetera. You held yourself to a standard. And it was interesting as time went on, I found that it actually worked against me. Right. And I really found it was really bizarre how you try to be this, but then everyone's immediately going, no, not me, not really that way. Or you'd hold the door open and going, well, I've got it. You don't have to stand and greet me when I walk in a room, that kind of stuff,
Because I was going to say, for I mean, for obvious reasons, like the traditional male role is concerning to me, and I'm sure to you, but there is something, there's some lovely things in the stuff that you've just talked about in terms of being a gentleman, or I would say like just good human behavior, trying to
Exactly.
be mindful of
Just having manners.
having manners, be mindful of the people in the room. And I mean, I'm all for you being on time and all that kind of stuff. But are you talking about there's a point? Because I'm guessing you would have been dating, what are we talking, like 1990s?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm almost 47, Nelly. So
Okay. So you're, oh, you look younger than me, girl. Jesus. I thought you were like
Estrogen's done
40.
me well, just and hiding under the fat.
A similar vintage. So, did you, is what you're saying, if you started doing things, I think you were dating women, if you were
I
like,
was.
yeah. But were they, what I'm hearing is if you open the door, if you and I had been on a date and you opened the door for me, I probably would have been that woman going, excuse me, I can open the door for myself.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
Not going to run around and open the car door, because that just seems so silly. But like,
Yeah.
going in places, I'll grab the door, or I'll stand in an elevator and I'll point and gesture for you to go first, or
Yeah.
those sorts of things. Or I remember one time I showed up with flowers, and this girl was like, "What's this for?" And I'm like, I was always told never show up empty-handed. So sometimes I'd show up with a
Yeah.
nice bottle of wine, I'd show up with flowers, and you'd immediately get these going, what wine? What are you expecting? Or they'd look at it and go, they just get this glare. And it's I've always found dating and listening to people very contradicting. So people saying, well, I want the gentleman, I want all of that. And then in the other note, you kind of told why you do that. It's old fashioned. That's we don't want that anymore. And it's like, well, what do you want?
What do you want? And you know what? That answer's gonna, you know this, the answer's gonna be different depending who you're talking to.
Exactly.
You know, because I
Exactly.
think if you showed up on a date with me with a bunch of flowers, I'd be thrilled. You know,
Yeah.
but there is an element. I can also see that side if I showed up on a date and someone had brought too much. And who, what's the line of too much? You, especially if
Exactly.
it was the first date, you could be kind of going, what's going on here? Like, this seems excessive. So it is, it's rough. I want to get more into your dating experiences. So were you, and you tell me if I cross the line, right? As I say to all my
Nelly, this is a
guests.
brave space. You can ask me anything you want.
Excellent.
All right.
I intend to, mate. I intend to. So have you dated exclusively women? What's, how would you identify your sexuality?
My sexuality, I identify as pansexual. And I'd always said bi. I'd probably say I was more like 70-30 women to men.
Yep.
I had always found men attractive, but there was never a platform. Again, 90s, early 2000s was really there. And I had had an experience that became became more comfortable with to talk about later years were a very close friend of mine, his brother-in-law actually took advantage of me in the back of a ute, and he was a
Oh,
gay man.
I'm sorry
And
to hear.
so it left me with a bit of uncertainty how to engage men, especially within some of these spaces. I'm not putting down gay men, I'm not tying that brush with
No,
everyone,
no.
but it's just my own personal experience. So I tended to date with women specifically. And I've been married twice. I got married at 20 to a woman I dated in high school. We were together about
20.
3 or 4. Yeah, 20.
So you
Yeah.
were, again, it's important context. I think it's similar to the environment I was in, but with a different, obviously different country. You're in the States, but you're in the Bible Belt. Mine wasn't really Bible Belt, but it was very conservative. It would have been completely normal to get married at 20, for example.
Completely,
So your
completely.
first marriage is at 20 to a woman.
To
Your
a woman,
second marriage
yes.
is at what age?
Second age was at 25, 26,
Wow.
to another woman who was an Australian who I met online and had came to Australia to be with.
Wow.
At that time, I had lost sort of relationship with my family and many of my friends because I had sort of explored my sort of gender identity a little bit briefly for there, and
Ah.
that small period after my divorce, and I'd always been there. But I had this after the incident with one of my best friend's brother-in-law and a woman I had been dating at the time. I just kind of said, "Look, I'm out." And I had an opportunity. I'd met someone. I'd fallen in love head over heels and said, "Let's pack the two suitcases to close my back and let's go to Australia."
Oh, God, this is so good. But let me go back before I forget. Do you mind if I ask, was the estrangement from your family from divorce or because you'd started to explore gender identity?
Because I started exploring gender identity,
Okay, so what
and
did you say to them?
I didn't say anything. There was actually a photo of me that had gone around, and then it was also a fake photo as well. But it was a photo of me just sitting in a chair. This makeup artist had done a little bit of a touch-up on my makeup, and he goes, "You actually look really lovely. Can I just take a photo?" And I said, "Thank you, I appreciate that." And behind me, there was this other trans woman who was very much drag cross-dressing, just extravagant behind me. I think her name was Sharista or something, and she had this massive, like, the nanny hair,
Yeah, love.
and whatever going on. And you know, I just sitting there, just had a really nice cardigan, whatever going on. My hair was nice, and you could just help me up a little bit of on my face. And it just gotten around, and everyone really kind of had their opinion.
What do you mean it
And
got around? Did the photographer share it?
no, the girl I was seeing at the time saw it on
Said
my
it.
phone, and she knew I was, I guess at that time we could call it cross-dressing. And she had, sent it off to my family and going, "This is what I
Oh,
am dealing with." And
Michelle. Oh,
yeah.
that's such a betrayal. That is such a betrayal. I'm very sorry that that happened. That's.
It's a common thing that happens. And it happened repeatedly through the years of, those sorts of things in my relationships where people just they take the liberty upon themselves to do these things.
Oh, I'm very
Yeah.
sorry to hear that. Well, you are cute as fuck. So I was
Well, thank you.
hoping if they were sharing, it was for that reason, but it's sadly not. So you then come to Australia for love, you marry. How long does that marriage last?
There was a brief period there, about 5 years in, that we had separated. We just I was struggling a little bit just because, didn't know where my career was going. We weren't seeing things eye to eye. We, the financial pressures, and we separated about a year, and then we got back together, became stronger than ever, had 2 kids, and then it was in 2013 that things just it's like late 2012 things really crumbled, but it wasn't really official in 2013 that things just went to caca.
And how did you cope or not cope?
Didn't cope very well. I at the same time, I'd had a surgery that happened in 2012, where I had an emergency gallbladder surgery. And I remember waking up in hospital like 2 days before Christmas. Everything was like black and white. You're projectile vomiting. I was an absolute mess. It was like that scene from The Matrix where they unplugging from the Matrix. He's naked, laying there with like tube thing underneath.
Yeah,
That's pretty much what it was.
so vulnerable.
And it was so bad. And yeah, from there I had started seeing a psychiatrist, and I just said, look, I've been dealing with this for my entire life. I need to talk, and I'm just really feeling estranged from my wife, and we just really fell apart.
And when you say,
And
Michelle, I've been dealing with this, and correct my language at any time, I welcome it.
no, you're
Do you
fine.
mean I've been dealing with gender dysphoria, or do you
Yeah.
mean, yeah,
Gender
okay, so
dysphoria. Yeah, gender dysphoria.
you're thinking to yourself, I'm not right in my body. I don't think this can continue. For people listening who may not be aware, you don't, because there's so much bullshit in the media about trans stuff. You don't just wake up and then go, I'm a lady,
No,
right? There's
I'm
a
a
very,
lady. You're Emily Howard walking around in
yeah, there's
ruffles.
a really full-on medical process and a lot of vetting, and that can be debated whether or not that's good, but you had to go through that.
I did. I had done several sessions with a psychologist, several sessions with a psychiatrist. I, did quite a bit of exploring, understanding what it actually meant for me. I even spent a period where, if I decided, well, is hormone therapy good for me? Is it not? Is this all I'm ever going to get? Would I be happy with just this? And at the end of the day, I said, yeah. And I ended up making the decision. But again, I was outed. I didn't get that chance to actually share
Oh,
that
darling, who outed you, or
proper
do you not
outing
want
as
to
well.
say?
Look, my family here weren't exactly comfortable at that
You
time.
mean your ex-wife or grey
My
area?
ex-wife and most of the surrounding family. Now, in that time, there's a lot of hurt in that, and I have to understand that. And that's not about throwing people under the bus. It just was honest hurt and a fear. And my sister-in-law is a massive fan of your show, and her she's come with me to shows, live shows as well. And I love her to pieces. Like, I feel, Lisa, and even my ex as well, have really enriched my life, and even their wider family. I'm still so close to their family. But at that time, this hurt.
It was hurt.
And
And you're
yeah, you just don't
very,
have to do that.
my impression, very strong impression of you is that you're very gracious around that stuff, in that you are aware that it is a, especially then, but even now, a very hard thing for some people to get their head around, and it might take them a minute. Like, you didn't expect, I'm assuming, everyone to just go, oh yeah, okay,
Oh my
and
God,
move on.
amazing. You're so powerful. Yeah, no. But you have to also understand that there isn't any support services that exist for families, for your kids, for your parents, for your partner. They don't. There's nothing there. And so they have no way to process that. And my ex, at one point would say things to me like, it's like Michelle killed my husband. And the body's walking around, and I have no way to grieve. There's no body to grieve. And I was like, wow,
Shit, how
that's
did that
really tough
feel?
to tough. Like, that's a really hard, it's like, here's the knife a few times, and then that's the twist a little bit. And that's a hard thing to hear. Throughout the process, over even over the years, I've been mindful of that pain and that process that they've had to go through. And so I've been trying to do my best to still be as supportive and be as present as much as I can, and
And are
listen as much as
you
I can.
friends with her now?
I am. We have our ups, we have our downs, and our misunderstandings. But at the end of the day, if anything ever happened to either one of us, we would both be devastated.
And you'd
And
both
my
be there
first
for
wife
each
and I are
other.
very close as well. Well, too. My first wife and I go back to the States, and we're family still. And I go there and hang out with her husband. We'll smoke something on the barbecue, have a scotch and a cigar, and have a bit of a laugh. And her and I will go out handbag shopping that weekend as well. So I'm
How
still very
lovely.
close with many of them.
Yeah, that's really lovely. Now, I want to get to the juicy bit, because I want to get you back on and talk about navigating stuff with the kids. I know you're very close with your kids. Let me make that very clear. But I think it's a really interesting conversation. But I want the juice, because I know you've been dating for what, 10, 11 years. So talk to me, talk to me. Are we online? Are we out in the wild? What are the challenges? What are the beautiful bits? Tell me everything.
What I miss? I miss the old days of just asking somebody on a date and the dating culture, because we don't have a dating
I
culture
know.
here in Australia, right? So I miss going out and just picking somebody up, going out to dinner, going out maybe to an event, going to Denny's afterward and just talking till 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, fantastic stuff. Most stuff here is going to be online, right? And I've had a variety of women over the years who've had who have been everything from, I've dated a hoarder who had a room you couldn't open. I've dated an alcoholic during the time we shall not mention. I've dated someone who had excessive OCD, who was vacuuming at like 11 o'clock p.m. because they just need a house to clean. I've had people with jealousy. So one woman found an image of two women being intimate in a photo, and sat in the living room with lights on in the living room watching me sleep. I've had the gaslighting, where there's things like, that persistent verbal attacks and condescension and the judgment criticisms. I've had women who dated me for a month and are very intimate for a month, and then have said, "Oh, look, I don't want to be with you because look, I want to date a real woman." I
Oh
and dating, dating you actually impacts my how I'm perceived as a queer woman.
no. Oh, Michelle.
I've had
Hang on, can I just be clear on that one? So they have been sexually intimate with you for a month and then gone, "Oh, actually, I can't do this because you're not a real woman." So, I mean, that's heartbreaking to me. And you, again, I invite you to correct me if you think I'm wrong. That is different if they said from the beginning,
I've had that too.
right? Okay, that is, I'm not saying that's even
And I
great.
have to respect that. But the thing is they'll say to me something like, "Look, I respect you too much."
Respect you too much for what? To have sex with you?
Just, yeah, that they just respect me as a person, and that they just can't go there because they respect me even though they're attracted to me. But at the same time, their identity, again, their identity about being a queer woman and dating me, they
Hang on. This is blowing my mind. I mean, it's not, and it is, because you would have heard me say on the podcast before, I have absolutely encountered biphobia, panphobia, transphobia in the queer community and on the apps, right? And to the point where, and I'm sure you would have seen this, and one of the things that you and I, said we might talk about, is no trans women, on profiles and things like that. And I'm always of the view of, why do you need to say that? Like, if you match with a trans woman, just swipe left. Why do you need to be, if so cruel? I've forgotten the train of my thought. What were we talking about?
We're talking about the transphobia and the wider community and biphobia
Oh,
and
that's what I was going to say. Them saying, what blows my mind is, oh, I can't be perceived, or I'm not a queer woman. What could be more queer than a queer woman dating a trans queer woman?
right?
This is bizarre to
Exactly,
me. Do they
exactly.
mean, so are they, let me be blunt, are they actually saying people,
They don't
my
see you as a woman,
friends?
Nellie.
Oh,
Exactly.
Michelle, that's really painful.
But what's great, what was even better was, is you'd swipe, you'd swipe, you'd swipe, you'd swipe. And I did everything. Like, I would go so far as to read things around psychology, around colors to wear, how to take the photos, what to write. Like, I would go through the whole thing, right? And occasionally I'd get a swipe, and you'd get the messages of, "Look, I'm not interested in trans women, but I just want to say that I'm really proud of you, and I think you look amazing, and again, I respect you so much for going through that process, and good luck in life." And I'm like, "Why?
I'm
Why?"
sorry. Fuck off. Like, I'm sorry. Is that the wrong response? That sounds so patronizing to me.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Like, it's different if we're chatting in a bar and you tell me your story and I go, I have so much respect for that, and blah, blah. I'm on a dating app to hook up with someone and or find a relationship. Don't patronize me. Like, that
Exactly.
would be like someone messaging me and go, I so respect that, you've got the courage to date as a larger woman. Fuck off. I'm hot.
Look, I'd like to think I am. I'd
Yeah,
like
of
to think
course you
I've
are,
got,
darling. And can I ask you a blunt question? Because I know I'm trying to put myself in the position of the listener. Do you, because I personally, I'll put my cards on the table. I think it's rude to ask anybody anything about their body, right? And
Oh,
I know
completely.
that is something that trans people are
They'll Nelly, these are questions people are going to be thinking. You
I
can
know.
ask, again, this is who I, you know me.
In a dating context, is it reasonable for them to ask whether you've had surgery, what surgery you've had, what do you
Yeah.
think?
Look, for me, I think that's fair, right? There are going to be
Tell me
some,
why.
there are some women who are attracted to women who do not have an interest in a phallus. Right, I totally understand that, and I totally appreciate that, and I have to respect that. That's what this is. But also, there might be people listening who aren't from the wider queer community, and I want to make sure that we're very clear that, queer is a u term used for many people, and there are some in our community who aren't comfortable with the word queer or rainbow, and there are some who just say I'm a lesbian, or some who say I'm gay, and I respect that as well too, right? But people need to understand that being, say, a lesbian or being, say, gay isn't always about what's on between the legs,
No.
right? And so I have to respect that. So I'm someone who is, I've decided for me, I'm a non-op, a trans woman. That means I'm not interested in lower surgery. I've had, hormone therapy for 11 years. I've had top surgery. I paid very good money, and I'm very happy with
Got a
how they
good
look. And
rack.
my girlfriend's very happy with that rack. So, no.
Can I be
And
really clear about something? Again, putting myself in the mind of the listener. If you meet someone, if you meet Michelle or anybody else, if you meet someone at work, at a pub, at a party, or whatever, do not ask about what surgery they have or
no.
haven't had, unless you want me to ask you back, like
My
about
first,
your medical history.
when I first started working at one of the major banks, I remember my first day going out to lunch to meet and greet with people. And this woman came up to me. She goes, "So, how expensive was the surgery?" Gesturing towards between my legs, and like how long was recovery, et cetera. And I'm going, like, why would you ask somebody that for the first time? You
And fucking
spend the
Google it. Google it,
right.
lady. There's a Google machine.
But people like you, who I'd sit down and have a good laugh with, a big giggle, I could go into personal details of how that sort of works and stuff, because I trust you, and we could talk about it and laugh about it,
But you
and
know
you'd go,
what?
"Oh my God, that matches." But even then, you probably wouldn't.
And I wouldn't. You lead that, is my view.
Exactly.
And that
Yeah.
would be no different, regardless of, like, to me, it's a bodily autonomy issue. The only difference, and that's why I asked you, is that I'm with you and I know that this is a vexed area. I do think if there's going to be a sexual connection, it is reasonable to have that information.
Agree.
Right? So, how do
Agree.
we approach that respectfully?
Let me tell you though, after 10 years, you get to a point where you just almost have the script in front of you, right? Of all the
I
questions
bet.
people ask and the things that are gonna come up. And when I finally had met Karin, Karin and I've been together for 2.5, almost 3 years now. And when we had
Woo-hoo.
first met, she swiped on me, and I'm going, "Okay, here we go. This is what's gonna happen." And I immediately was like, "Here's the script. Here's whatever. This is going on. This is whatever, whatever." And she was like, doo, 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 doo. Like she was like immediately like scattergunning. And she, upon her, I really, take my hat off at her. And that she did not. She immediately had a moment, but she took a time back and reflected on what I had shared. And it was a lot, because you get to a point you're going, "I'm kind of like, I'm not going to sit here and waste like all this bit of time. This is what I got, a non-op. This is what I'm doing. I've got kids. I've
You're
got this.
being
I've got whatever."
preemptive.
I'm being preemptive at that point, because you just get to a point where you're going, "Why bother? I'm just, this is who and what I am."
Can I interject at that point and imagine myself in her position? You could over preempt. You can
Yeah,
overempt.
and during COVID, I was. Let me honest. Be honest, I was.
Because I think if that unfolds over a conversation, that's very different too. I'm expecting you to ask these 10 offensive questions. So, but like, that would be a lot from the
It
first
was. I'm
day.
surprised she still decided to date me.
So, she's what app were you on?
It's the B one, Bumble.
Bumble. Okay. So, she swipes on you, you start chatting. Was she a queer woman? Like, I mean, you share as much or as little as you want. Because you're talking about something else.
Yeah, sure. And I will share as much what I think that she'll be comfortable with, because I know Kara is quite a private person. And so. whenever I meet somebody, I mean, I do this stalk. I go through all like Google them, look at all the other different apps to kind of find them on Facebook, kind of find them on here, just to make sure that they're a real person. Cause we get a lot of those out there as well.
Yes.
Katara had come from a more heteronormative background.
Yeah.
I find women who I tend to date mostly come from that more heteronormative, had dated men, either had kids, not had kids,
Yeah.
and had always been wanting to explore their sexuality, but not really sure how to. I think, I heard a caller on a, I think with you and Kirsty, had talked about where do you go, what do you do, and how, and that kind of stuff. And they're not so much part of the culture of what's going on here, and we can kind of sit on the fringes and just have our own sort of thing. Because, those within our own circles nearly know who I am. And, I have to be careful sometimes as well.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
With some of the people that I'm dating. And
So just to be
so
clear for listeners, because you're being very modest, but you're very well known in the LGBTIQA plus community. So what I'm hearing you say is you don't shit where you eat.
pretty much, pretty much,
Right?
pretty much. I'm very careful with
You're careful
that.
and you'd rather date on the fringes. And
Yeah.
yeah, okay. So you two meet, how many dates do you have? Like what's
Oh
the how
God,
does
we
it
dated during
evolve?
COVID. Like we, she came down here and we did a lot of video calls, watching, doing the video sharing on Netflix or say Disney,
Oh, cute.
and what was funny is occasionally, so I'd be sitting there like we are now, and she'd be sitting on a phone here watching me, and we'd be watching, and I'd be watching the movie. I'm literally like watching the movie, and then I could see, because I've got really good peripheral, I could see her like staring at me, and I'd look over and like, look back down at her, give a little wave, and go back to watching. And I'm trying not to smile because I know she's observing me while I'm sitting there.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it was great. And so yeah, it was several different dates, and we always joked about the U-Haul thing.
I was gonna say,
She was.
do you? I mean, I know you don't identify as lesbian, but shall I say, in my case and yours, close enough.
Close
Was
enough.
it a U-Haul situation? What are we
No,
talking?
no. She was living in Shepparton. She
Okay.
had moved down from Queensland and came down
Yeah.
and was living in Shep. And so it was nice to kind of go back and forth and go visit Shep and whatever. And there was a point where she decided to move closer into her own apartment
Yeah.
into Melbourne, which was great. Just to be a little bit closer so we'd cut down the commute. And then after about a year, we then made the decision to, but she was always at mine anyway.
Yeah.
So, but she at least still had her own place.
Oh my God, can I just get like I'm going, the writer in me is like Queensland, heteronormative background from Queensland, shepherd and girl falls in love with trans woman on Bumble. Like it's a tale as old as time, Michelle.
Right.
I know this is always a risky thing to say without sounding patronizing, but I think you know me well enough to know I really mean it. Like it's people want connection, like regardless of all the labels, and we want love and we want connection, and you found it.
I did. But there's always those moments you kind of go, is this really, is this not? You date
Yeah.
some real pearlers over the years, and you're waiting for it. It was one incident. We went out to dinner, and I couldn't find the parking ticket. Now, I'm one of those people where I have the saying that I love is this the hill I want to die on? Because my reaction to this situation will determine its outcome.
So mine is,
So
which is the same thing, but do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
that's right.
Right? So yes, parking ticket. I know exactly where this is going, but tell me.
And so, $72 fine for not having it, and I'm sitting there just going, much. Now, mind you, I didn't have much in my wallet, right? So I'm like, this sucks. Like, I gotta pay this and not appear like it's gonna actually, you know, upset
right
me.
me. Yeah.
And I was like, yep, cool, popped it in, just cool as a cucumber, whatever. And she was just like watching me the entire time because she had witnessed partners in the past who would just get verbal, get aggressive, get whatever. And I just got in the car and we drove off. And she just kind of still watched me in the car going, you didn't really let that phase you. I said, no. I said, what am I gonna achieve by losing my mind at this? I said, I'm wasting energy that I don't need to waste. And she was like, no, she just kind of saw that.
This is fascinating. So this is one of the things that I find so interesting about dating at this age. I've been in that situation. Anyone who's been dating would have been in that or a similar situation. The details are different, but it's that same sort of thing. I can't tell you, Michelle, how many times I've been on dates where I've gone, I'm not going to fight with you. Like, I'm not a fighter. Like, if they're used to combative relationships or dealing with stuff through conflict rather than discussion and whatever, like someone like me is almost more confronting because I simply won't do it.
No.
You know, and over the ticket, I would be the same. Like, I might kind of go, oh, but you know, it's just, there's just bigger shit going on.
Exactly.
All right. Fascinating. Getting you back on. Are you ready for a listener call?
Let's do it.
Right. It's a doozy. We're going to lean in.
Hi, Nellie. Thank you so much for this podcast. It has helped me so much. I've been separated 19 months, divorced since December, so going on 3-4 months now. And I have a question about when you're dealing with narcissistic or emotionally abusive, I should say, and emotionally abusive ex. We're both court ordered not to talk negatively about the other parent, which I think is a great rule and certainly try to abide. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But we have 4 kids, 18, 16, 14, and 12. Basically, the big 2 live with him, the little 2 live with me and see him every second weekend. We try to do family dinners every week, a Tuesday and a Thursday, where all 4 kids go to dinner with each parent. And we swap that Tuesdays and Thursdays to allow for sport and all the rest of it, which mostly works well. Through the course of the time, the big 2 boys have chosen him. And there's lots of reports coming back from the little ones about things he's said and done, including messages he sent to me and the children, which are complete violation of a current intervention order. And we also have police reports and current investigation going and future breaches, not future, breaches that I haven't reported yet. Because my question is, how do I be honest with them, help them, support them emotionally when the other parent is narcissistic, manipulative, and emotionally abusive? Generally, I'm really honest with my kids, but I feel like the court orders are restricting me on what I can say. And certainly, I don't want to, my main goal is not to do any more damage to the children other than what has already been happened to them. So, generally, I'm really honest and would say, you know, this, this, and this, but it's their parent, and I don't want to do the wrong thing, further damage them, or get myself in trouble. So how do you talk about it when it's happening and they're aware of it and they're talking to me about it? Thanks.
Oh, Michelle, what a doozy. Before you respond, can I just say a couple of things? I have been, because you won't know this background, I've been in touch with this caller for obvious reasons, and I can confirm that she is linked in with like professional family violence services. So she's getting professional advice, which is, I cannot tell you to listeners how critical that is.
Very
it
critical.
Is, do not go to your auntie, your best friend, your whoever. And I mean, you can go and talk to them, but don't take legal and professional advice because there are safety issues. There are legal issues. Neither Michelle or I are going to give you legal advice. No. What do you hear? What do you hear in there, Dol?
I hear it's a very common thing. I hear it all the time. I guess one of the things I often hear in these stories, it reminds me of like the comic strip in Mad magazine of Spy vs. Spy.
Oh yeah.
And it's a lot of times it feels like it's almost this competition of who's got to be right, who's actually wrong. There's hurt. You don't know what the details are, and I'm not going to assume, but you know, unfortunately, you know, there are just some couples who as they grow apart from each other. And when kids just make it complicated.
Yeah. So I think I want to honor, thank you for calling in. It sounds to me like you're doing everything right, in that you put support services in place. You've got the legal orders. That stuff's really important, particularly in this situation. I reckon what she's really struggling with is, what do you say, and this could, let's generalize rather than talking about this particular situation. When you see an ex that you're co-parenting with do something clearly wrong, right? It could be this situation, but it could be something else. How do you handle that with the children? Because you'd know from listening, my advice is you lean very much on the less is more side. Like, no one wants to hear their parents shit canned. Having said that, you don't want to gaslight your kids.
No. There's a limit to how much the kids really should be brought into, you know?
Yes.
There's always intimate and intricate details of why a relationship would fall apart.
Mm.
And they don't need to know that. With my own children, when things happened, went on my way to make sure that I was always checking their mental health. You know, I'd always try to, you know, sometimes there was always a sleight of hand stuff, like, you know, to make sure that they, you know, something's happening here. Hey, look over here, what's going on here, so you don't see what's happening here.
Can I give you an example? Let's talk in pragmatics. Let's say one of your kids had come home, and I know nothing about your kids, so this is not from a personal story. I'm just guessing. Let's say one of them came home and went, oh, mum was talking shit about you. How would you handle that?
I said, oh, no, thank you. I said, look, let's just leave what's happening at mom's house. And I said, you know, it's happened. And I would say, you know, we don't talk about what happens in my house. Unfortunately, those things do leak through, or they may hear something and interpret it their own way, and then they'll go back and say something. And unfortunately, they do sit inside, and you can't get rid of them, but you got to do your best. But I would just change the subject. I would move on to something else, because I think if I were to go and talk about it and try to break it down, I would probably leak through my true emotions or feelings in the moment.
Yeah, because you've got your own skin in the game. I think it might be helpful. I mean, role-playing terrifies me, but can you give me a situation and I'll tell you how I would respond? I'm trying to give the call. To me, the caller wants some concrete modeling of how to handle this. So let's say you're one of my kids and you come home and say what?
Mom, Dad says that you are lazy and you owe her money and you are just, you know, living a free life.
Yeah, I think I would say, oh, that's interesting. Like, how did you feel when Dad said that? You know, or would you like me to talk to Dad about that? Is this something, I'm okay. Like, that would be my first, even if I wasn't, I'm then calling a friend after, going, can you fucking believe that? Da, 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 da. Like, you've got to find a place for your feelings and your rage, because that's real.
You do.
But to the child, I think I'd be going, do you want me to do anything about that? Do you want me to talk about it? In her case, because I don't think you could call her ex-husband, I would be inclined to go, gee, that sounds hard, hearing that. How are you feeling? Like, don't editorialize. Don't add any more than needs to be. Just sit in the feelings of it. Or if they came home and said, oh, Dad was yelling at, you know, Jimmy, the younger brother or something like that, I might be inclined to go, gee, that would upset me, you know, to sort of sit in the emotional landscape rather than the details of it. Because saying that would upset me, surely, is what the kid's trying to talk about.
One thing I did over the years is I always try to find times where I could have one-on-one time with each of my daughters.
Yeah, that's lovely.
We go on daddy-daughter dates. And even in the early days, I remember saying to them, I said, look, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry that things like this with mommy and I. And I said, I need you to know that your mom and I, you know, still do really care about each other. You know, that's why we're so upset, because we really do care about each other. I said, but I need you to know that we both love you very much. and you were made from love. I said, that's where you came from. I said, we wouldn't have just had you for the sake of it. I said, we are so passionate about how much, you know, you are cared for. And there are going to be times we're probably going to say some stuff we don't mean. Yeah. And I just need you to just, talk to me if you need to talk to me. And, you know, I think through doing a bit of that and just having a bit of patience myself and not trying to be right or dominate or to control, I believe my daughters have come closer to me over the years, and we'll have time where even during COVID, we would lay there and my daughter had the very personal, intimate things she shared with me about her own life and her own relationships. And I felt very blessed that my daughter felt safe with me to talk about that. And I think it's because I didn't go out of my way to attack their mother or any of that stuff. And I think it's those early ground foundation-like things that you need to do.
I think, and that safety is key. And I know from talking to this particular caller, I mean, one of the worries, and I mean, who wouldn't have this worry, is that the older two children have chosen to stay with their dad. My advice to her was, for now, right? So if you've got, because you and I are talking about situations where we've got reasonable, relatively healthy adults who aren't abusive. She's talking about a situation where there's an intervention order in place, right? Working with, and I'm going to just accept on face value, there's an intervention order in place. There's been family violence. She clearly thinks he's a narcissist, whether diagnosed or not. You can't reason with a narcissist. So if that's true, you cannot reason with a narcissist. I think all you can do is sit with the kids. First of all, you make sure they're safe. And again, she's got professional advice. The police are involved. There's family violence services involved. So let's assume they're safe, physically safe. They're clearly not emotionally safe. All you can do, I think, is just sit in that emotional landscape. So again, if they come home and go, and I mean, I've seen this, and I reckon you've probably seen it too. Oh, mum's dating someone and she's a slut. I think it's perfectly fine to go, that's not a word dad should use. How'd you feel when dad said that? Right? That's not then retaliating, going, well, dad's a slut and da da da. Like, you can't do that for either emotional reasons or, in your case, to our beautiful caller, for legal reasons. Right? You don't want him drawing you into a situation where it affects your custody arrangements. And there's a lot of containing there. Like, there's a lot, you're going to have to wear a lot of shit, because he will, if the picture you've painted is correct, he's going to try and push your buttons via the children.
I think also taking that step back, I think if we look into every word the other person is saying, so I've seen this, I've dated somebody who was going through this before, and it came down to every word, every message. There was the document, and there was another going back to the lawyer, and there was another $1,000 to put it onto the court thing. And I think it gets to a point where you just need to take a step back and invest that energy, turn that energy from hurt and anger into love, and take that one-on-one time with each kid and just say, you know, how are you individually? Let's go to Macca's and let's have a Macca's breakfast. Yeah. You and me, you know, Airly, you and I go do this, and we'll have a bit of a laugh and tell me about your day. And I think it creates a, you know, it's shifting it for them. And we're not going to focus on somebody else's anger and somebody else's fear and hurt. We're going to focus on them and turn that into love.
This is lovely. So to be clear, and we'll leave it here, Michelle's not saying focus the love on the ex. I'm going to say, quite frankly, he can get fucked.
I'm saying the same thing. I'm trying.
Yeah, off your fuck. But I think what you're saying, and I think that's really, really clever, concrete advice, put whatever energy and love you can into the kids. Even the older two, you're feeling hurt. I imagine you might be feeling a bit rejected. You're definitely feeling worried from what I've heard. The best thing you can do is keep that relationship with them. And even when it feels like they're rejecting you, keep reaching out and kind of go, can we go out for this lunch, or can we go to the movies? I don't know. Whatever. It depends how old they are and what they like to do. But to keep that, and the one-on-one thing is a really different thing than four kids at the same time or two kids at the same time. And please keep, and I'm saying this more for other callers because I know this caller is doing this, but please keep the professional services involved, because there are real safety concerns in a situation like this, and you need to have professional advice.
You do. you do.
Yeah, thank you. All right. One of my favorite segments, no shade on my ex. Can you please tell me some stupid shit that an ex of yours has done, Michelle Shepherd?
Oh my God. It's just, it was always sort of the back and forth stuff. I remember anybody who knows me knows I'm not a very big drinker,
yep.
But I do like a nicer nip of, say, scotch or whiskey or maybe some bourbon. That's yeah. my poison of choice. And I remember actually being with somebody who was like, oh, I think that's great that you do that. You've done, you know, tasting courses, you've gone to learn about it. That's so amazing. It's so different than being a bogan and drinking beer. And I'm like, oh, thanks. It's, we're watching something and having, and you know, I'm having a nip. You know, when you drink scotch whiskey, it's just, you know, it's neat.
Yeah.
There's, which means there's no ice. There's, I don't put soft drink in it. I just have a little bit. And I remember getting up and I was going to give her a kiss. She goes, no, you smell, you have it on your breath. And my father was quite abusive and used to always drink whiskey, and it takes me right back there. And I was like, oh, and I went to go pour another. Oh, and you're having another. And I'm like, yeah. It was this moment of going, wait a minute, you complimented me just now on this. And then I go and have another, and going, what do I do at this moment? And I kind of stopped. I went to put the bottle away. And she goes, no, you make a decision for yourself what you want to do. I mean, that's your liver that you need to look after. And I'm going,
oof.
What?
Okay.
Do
you know what's
yeah.
interesting about the drinking thing? I've noticed that a few times. No, I haven't experienced it a heap myself, but I've seen it in friends. Where I totally get if you've had experience with an alcoholic that could be a trigger. What is I think concerning to me is then not owning that. You know, because if you're then not owning it in the sense that it's your fault, but acknowledging, oh, you didn't do anything wrong. Like you had a nip of scotch, you know, you're not raging, you're not stumbling around, you haven't passed out. That smell has triggered something in you. You can actually work on that rather than go, well, Michelle, it's your liver, which is so patronizing, right? Like you're a grown adult. If you want to have a nip of scotch, then that's up to you. And if you don't want it, if you want a teetotaler, say I want a teetotaler.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. There are 10, but give me the most hot and tot hottie celebrity you can think of. Give me the Michelle Shepherd hotness landscape.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
All right. Who's Bryce Dallas Howard?
She was, she's the redhead from Argyle. She was in.
Gotcha.
I love how, I think it's more about her attitude around her own body.
Yeah.
And she refuses to actually no longer diet and stuff for pictures. She's got beautiful curves. She's
gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're on a date with her, with Bryce.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's going really well and there's flirtation and you think this is going to be great and, you know, she might be the one. I'm getting carried away. I'm going the romantic narrative. She does something where you go, oh, absolutely not. I'm out. What is it? She's a 10, but?
The excessive drinking is one thing. So I've had girls that go on dates with me. They'll drink an entire bottle then start making really, get really loud and
getting too pissed. Yep.
Talking only about themselves, they don't do the dance.
Yes.
Well, we all get caught up in that. I think sometimes if we get really excited sometimes and we're excited about a topic, we can do a little bit one way a little bit, but being mindful to come back and do that dance back and forth and have that. I'm really big on that. No sense of humor. You got to have a dark sense of humor to be in a relationship with me. Like the stuff we have to deal with, Nelly, is advocates and this space is some really hard stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, I like a little bit of just, I can laugh at Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais, not at all the things, but there are things I can. I can go back and watch stuff from the 90s or and 80s, you know, bachelor, you know, the bachelor party and the trans woman comes in after having sex with a guy and stands there and has a wee and I'm having a giggle, know? But I've watched it with people and the room will turn and look at me while this scene comes on.
How am I supposed to react? Yeah.
So it's, you know, how, you know, do you not take yourself serious? Goals are huge. Me, you know, I'm very goal driven. I have ambitions. I like to know that the person I'm with has a little bit of something in them as well.
Yeah. And the goal, I presume it doesn't necessarily have to be a career goal.
No.
It's about, you could say, I've got a goal to read a book a week this year or whatever it is. But are you thinking about, you know, the future or yourself or development in any sense?
Even if it's a sapphic dream of an outer suburb, inner regional country house with the chickens, like I'm totally down for that. You know,
it's
like
baby
like
pigs, baby pigs.
Right?
That's my goal. I want to live somewhere where I can have baby pigs and maybe a goat. I got it. Look, I think your deal breakers are all completely reasonable. Like, if are they listening to me? Are they asking questions? If someone gets hammered on a first date, I mean, I'm okay with a few drinks, but if someone gets hammered, that is at the very least an orange flag. It's probably a red flag.
Yeah. Here's probably a really bad one.
Yeah.
I remember going to this woman's house. We had a few dates here and there and we were going out, and I went to her house and I came over and we sat down and I was going to be there for dinner and we were going to just maybe do like a puzzle or do some games and just hang out for the night.
Yeah.
And as soon as I arrived, I just sat down.
Yeah.
And she was just sitting there as well too. We were just watching TV. And she didn't even offer me a glass of water or ask me what I wanted to do for dinner or anything like that. And it actually like an hour or so went by, not a glass of water, not anything, nothing. And I think hospitality is really big. So, because if I have somebody over, I immediately have something sort of like ready to go for somebody to grab something to nibble or eat or drink, or I'll have some chilled water ready. I tended to do a bit of that. I'm a host quite often with that kind of thing. But that was probably the
bit
biggest
of care.
One for me.
Bit of care and consideration. It reminds me of Miranda going on the date in the latest, whatever Sex and the City is called now, when she goes home with this woman and arrives there and there's like cat litter everywhere and she doesn't offer her a drink. And we're not just talking the place is a bit messy. We're talking it's like completely disheveled. And Miranda just is, you can almost see her going, I'm too old for this shit. And she leaves. You know, it's like, it's one thing when you go to someone's share house when you're 20 and it looks like a bomb's hit it. But if you're 50 something years old and you can't even tidy up for a date, you know, we've got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen some dirty
Yeah, mate. Oh,
some
yeah.
Dirty places before. Yeah.
Girl. Yeah. I can't tell you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I would like to thank the wonderful Michelle Shepherd. We're going to end the weekly episode there, but Michelle and I are going to keep chatting. To hear the rest of the chat, head over to Patreon and sign up for this and other bonus content. In our bonus chat, Michelle and I are going to take a listener letter about the things a newly divorced woman has learned to do and how bloody great she feels about it. It did involve a trip to Bunnings, sapphic warning. We'll also do Armchair Expert, where we discuss a meme about getting off the dating apps and moving to Greece or winning. And I will gauge Michelle's reaction to a thought bubble that I've had. About how you might be able to spot a narcissist from their texts. To listen,
I'm in for that.
Yeah, right. To listen to this bonus content, Patreon is the easiest way to become a paid subscriber to Dear Nelly. There's a link in the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com and search for Dear Nelly Plus. You'll get more content like this, but you'll also help me pay for the podcast and keep it going. Either way, though, thank you for listening. Love yous all.
Dear Nelly. I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yeah, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Miles, thanks for listening to Dear Nelly. Don't be shy. I'd love to hear your questions and comments. To send me like a voicemail recording or an email or whatever, go to dearnellypodcast.com and follow the links, and you might just hear me talk about your question or comment or thought bubble in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production team, and to producer Faye Younger, who in addition to being an excellent producer, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team, and mostly thank you to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one in the ether. Love yous.